like that.
Okay. Oh, that's what I'm talking about. Yinny. Okay. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
All right. Elohim Tov.
Kol
Hazman.
Elohim Tov.
All right. Yeshua HaMashiach Achavachim Otim. God loves you guys. And I am ready for this Bible study. We're a little bit late for all you people who are waiting up. Even Michael in London said he's going to be up. I'll be up, Pastor. It'll be 3 in the morning here, but I'm waking up. I'm going to watch it. So now it's 4 in the morning. But I want you to know, as Pastor Ben was praying,
amen,
and prayer comes before the word. And because,
amen,
like I was telling Sharon in the room there, prayer lasts a long time. When I speak a word, sometimes people don't remember 10% of what I said anyway. But prayer is long lasting.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Well, we're ready to get into this Bible study, but I have to thank my friend. First of all, Yini, I got your card, but I have it at home on my desk, and I meant to bring it, but I do thank you for sending me the card. And then Hilda, she sent me a picture, Pastor Ben. I got to bring it, but I don't want it to hang here. I want it to be at my house. Yeah, so, and then I also have a card from Shelley, and here it is. I'll show you that. See, she says, Pastor Sandy and S4C, thank you so much for all that you are doing. Every time I hear another one of your Holy Spirit-filled messages on the rapture, I get overwhelmed in so much excitement, joy. Keep barking. Those that want to hear are listening. God bless you. Shelley, and I'm going to mess up her last name, but it looks like Mahu. Okay?
Amen.
And I have another letter. That's her letter. And these are Hawaiian. This is our couple from Hawaii.
Okay. Oh,
yeah. Let me see if they wrote in tongues.
If
they wrote in tongues, I can't read it because the Lord says do that at home. Thank you for the awesome word and your obedience to the Lord. We are encouraged and waiting for the Lord's soon return. With love, Donnie and Sean in Hawaii. Praise the Lord. Okay, so let's get into this word tonight. My name is Pastor Sandy, and I am wheat. And I'm tired of being in the field. I'm ready to go to the barn. I'm ready to be gathered. So let's get into this word. So I'm going to wait till Pastor Ben. You guys okay? All right. Okay. So anyway, I want you guys to be excited. There is an event that is about to take place in the world, and incredible event that has been prophesied for many years, even since the time of Christ. Like many of the prophetic events in the world that have happened in the world, it has been talked about for a long time. It has been anticipated by many people for a long time. And now that we are at the end of a lot of completed prophecy, especially in 2017 and then 2018 and now here in 2019, a lot of completed prophecy. I can't get into all of that because it will just take too much time. But all the prophecies are laid out perfect now, okay? The 120th Jubilee is finished. That means that, you know, before there was a crossover, Moses was 120, and Moses died at 120. After the 120, there was a crossover. The 6,000 years is over, because before Jacob could get married, he had to work his full 6 days. And after Jacob worked his full 6 days of work, then at the end of that, he was able to request his bride. That's from Genesis chapter 29, if you're taking notes. And so that 6 days is finished, you can now request your bride. The 120th is over, so now the group by Yeshua can be crossed over. So, and then now that the, we'd have to get into calendars too deep, and I'm still studying that, and it is a fascinating calendar. I was wondering if Pentecost had arrived on May 14th before, or was that the only time that this guy was showing me in the calendar? And yes, Pentecost has landed on May 16th in 1994. It landed in May 16th. So, and you would think it's a full month away. I know I'm talking in circles and you guys don't know where I'm headed, but it's all in my brain and I understand exactly what I'm saying. So this event is about to happen in the world, and the Lord wants everybody to be ready, okay? Now, I know you guys know all this, but the Lord told me to address people who are backslidden and to address people who need to be ready and address people who don't know that this event is about to happen, okay? Because there are a lot of people out there that they've been in church for a long time and nobody has ever mentioned the rapture. Nobody has ever mentioned being ready for the rapture or watching and keeping your life straight and all of these things. So I want to explain to them what's about to happen, and then we'll get on to the Bible study of the title of this, because the title of this message is Why Did God Leave Me? Okay? And that's a very serious topic. Because nobody wants to be left. Let's go to Matthew chapter 24.
What verse, Matthew?
We're going to start off in verse 32. And it says, now learn the lesson of the fig tree. And that fig tree is Israel. And it says, when the branch has already become tender and put forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. Is summer near?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. So you also, when you see all these things, you know that it is near right at the door. Assuredly, I tell you, assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will not pass away. Now, listen what it says. This is what's going to happen. It says, but of that day and hour, no one knows. Not even the angels in heaven, but my Father only. I could go into a big explanation of that and try to explain to you guys what that means. But when you say nobody knows but my Father, or nobody knows the day and the hour but my Father, in the Jewish culture, they know right away what you're talking about. You're talking about a wedding. So if he's talking to a Jewish crowd, soon as he says, nobody knows the day or the hour, only my Father, immediately everyone who's standing around is saying he's talking about a wedding. Okay? Why? We could go back to Genesis, and I think it's past 29, but in Genesis, when God was going to take Isaac and sacrifice him on Mount Moriah, and then God sent an angel and said, don't do it, right? Then Isaac gets returned to his father Abraham, and then Abraham after that goes to his chief leader in his house, whose name was Eleazar, and he tells Eleazar, listen, I want you to go and get a wife for my son, right? Now, is he talking to the son? Does the son know about the wedding? No. He's telling Eleazar. What does Eleazar mean? The helper. Who's the helper?
The
The Holy Spirit. So he's talking to the Holy Spirit. I want you to go and bring a wife back for my son. And the Holy Spirit or Eleazar said, well, what if she doesn't want to come? Shall I take your son back there? He said, no, don't take my son back there. You bring her here. Eleazar goes, he finds a bride, and then he tells her all about the Abraham's son. And he wants to marry you. And they have great riches. And she decides, I'm going to marry him. Okay? Now, once she decides, he takes her, lifts her up, puts her on the camel, and he takes her back to Abraham's house, right? Abraham, Isaac, is sitting outside meditating by Baal Hahiroi. It does not say he went outside because his dad told him he was getting married soon and go wait for your bride. It said he did not know that he was getting married. Right. He looked up and he saw his bride coming.
Yes.
And when she came, she took off the veil, and then he introduced him to her, his wife. Then they went into the cabin which was built, and then now they commenced the marriage. Okay, but Isaac had no idea that he was getting married. Why? It's a Jewish culture. The father plans the wedding. He knows, and the information is not known to the son. Now, is Jesus Christ also the father? Yes, Jesus Christ is the father. Does Jesus know? Yes, but why did he say this then? Because he's expressing a marriage, a wedding that is going to take place, and he's expressing that to a Jewish crowd. No one knows it. It's like if I was here and I said, well, you know, what's an idiom for Christmas? Sleigh bells will be ringing. You go, oh, he's talking about Christmas right away, right? Or jingle bells will be ringing, whatever. You wouldn't know. It's an idiom about Christmas, right? You wouldn't go, well, you know, we got to figure out where he got those bells and why are they going to be ringing? And, you know, you wouldn't do that because it's part of your culture, right? But since we are not part of the culture, we're trying to figure out what was he talking about. He's talking to a Jewish audience. He's saying, I'm talking about a wedding. How is this wedding going to take place? Because some people have died and have gone on to be with Christ. And then some people will still be walking around. So as we continue here in verse 36, he says, of the day and that hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as it was in the days of Noah, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until Noah entered the ark and did not know until the flood came and took them all away. So also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Now, I love that God put this in scripture because now we know that this is not after tribulation. Okay? And that's an important thing to know. Because if it's after tribulation, there's a lot of events that have to happen, okay? Because it wouldn't say people were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage. It would say, and fire was raining down from the sky as the Lord was descending in a cloud. That's what it would say, okay? And then, you know, but that's not what it says. People are eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage. So we know now this is not a tribulation thing. We want to be excited about what God is excited about, yes. Okay? And that's what the Lord told me last week when I was getting ready to speak. I was going to do some other things. He was like, I want you to be excited about what I'm excited about,
yes.
Not to be doing other stuff. So I had to put everything down and just go to Bible study.
Yes.
So after that, it says this here. Watch this. It says, I think we're in verse 39. It says, and did not know until the flood came and took them away. So it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in the field. One will be taken, okay, and the other one left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken and the other one left. You see that? Now, if you read in Luke, he says two men will be in the bed. One will be taken and the other one left. So somewhere somebody's sleeping, and somewhere somebody's in the field. So you don't know. You can't say what day or hour or time or hour is going to be, because at what hour are you talking about? You say 9 o'clock. 9 o'clock where?
Right.
Okay. So you can't be in the, so somebody's in the field and the other person's sleeping. We got two different things going on here, okay? So he's letting you know these are different hours. This is a different hour around the whole world. So nobody knows the day nor the hour. Thank you, Father. Okay? And it says, two women will be at the mill grinding. One will be taken and the other one left. Wow. I'm going to look that up. The Lord said, look that up and tell me why they're at the mill grinding. Okay? And it says, watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master... Now, I want to stop there because it says, watch therefore, okay? Now, this is Jesus Christ, and he is giving believers a commandment. Watch, therefore, okay? Now, when we say watch in English, we could watch TV. Go outside and watch my car, okay? But the word in Greek, which is Gregorio, means to give strict attention to, be cautious, be active, and do not be inclined to laziness, okay? So he's telling you, don't be lazy about your walk. Okay, be active about your walk, be cautious about your walk, okay, and give strict attention to your walk. Okay, that's what he's saying when he's saying watch. Okay, so this is a message to Christians that you need to be attentive about this thing you've come into. Okay, I don't know how to say it to Christians because it's such a cavalier thing, because we haven't experienced an afterlife yet. Right. We haven't got to visit, go down and visit hell and see how important this whole thing is. You know, we don't really understand, even though there's been millions of people that have come back and said, or thousands of people that have come and said, you know what? I had a death experience and this is what happened. You know, I had a death experience, and no, I didn't go into the light. I went into a dark tunnel. Uh-huh. You know, I had a death experience, but I went into the presence of God. We haven't had those experiences, so we can't understand the reality that there is another life beyond ours.
Amen.
But Satan knows. Mm-hmm. They're building quantum computers so they can communicate with spirits that aren't in the physical realm. Do you think they're going to spend $25 million on a computer so they can communicate with spirit, with beings in the spirit realm, if they don't think that is real?
Amen.
So there is another realm, and God's trying to get us there. So now he's saying, look, the realm that you're in is dangerous.
Yes.
So watch. Okay? Watch. Don't get lazy about this. Watch, okay? Amen. So.
Dr. Ray Harris said there's a full house tonight.
Amen. So now, oh, good. Now, let's go to Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians. Now watch this. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. You there? Okay. Now, this is verse, we're going to start at verse 1. And I'm going to give you the word, Drea. This, my wife is sitting on the front, this, on the front. Do we have a Greek friend in Montreal? His name is George Maranakis, right? Okay. His whole family speaks Greek, okay? The New Testament is written in Greek, okay? So when I give you a Greek interpretation, I'm not giving it to you from somebody who doesn't speak the language, okay? When we get to this part that I'm going to get to, you're going to say, oh, I know what that word means. And a person who speaks Greek says, No, that's not what that means. A person who speaks Greek says, I don't care if they did write it, that's not what that means. This is what that means. Now watch as I read there. It says, now, brethren, concerning the coming of the Lord and our being gathered to him, okay, not him coming back, but our being gathered to him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled either by spirit or by word or by letter as if from us, as though the day of the Lord had came. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless there first comes a departure. What does your Bible say? A rebellion. That is not what apostasia means. Apostasia means to depart or to defect. It means to leave. Now, I've done this before, and I'm telling you, we took a Greek word and we said apostasia. Oh, they must mean people leaving the faith. It's not a religious word. It's just a word that means to depart or defect. Okay? So this is the way it's explained to me. If I'm in a house and it's too hot, I can say I apostasia it and went outside. Why? It was too hot in there.
Right.
Did I leave my religion? No. We made that a religious word. The word simply means to depart or defect. Okay?
Wow.
So what he's saying here is this. It says, for the day of the Lord will not come until there is a departure.
Mm.
Okay? Or a defection. What is a defection? The leaving of a war. To say, okay, I was at war, but I'm defecting. I'm going to Christ's side. Right?
Yeah.
And it says this. It says, by any means, for that day will not come unless there is a departure first. The departure has to happen first. Then the man of sin will be revealed, the son of perdition. So after there is a departure, then Satan will be revealed.
Yes.
Does that line up with scripture? Does that line up with Revelation chapter 4 that said, John said, come up here? And John was in heaven. Then he saw in heaven, and he said he saw the first seal released. And the first seal that was released while he was in heaven was a white horse. The Antichrist is the first seal that's released.
Yes.
So that means that he doesn't even leave. He doesn't even come until the church is gone. It lines up with this scripture if you don't take a Greek word and make a religious word out of it when it just means to depart.
Right.
Okay?
Amen.
Look it up, though. I mean, look it up. I've got three or four Greek translations, and they all say just departure, or none of them say leaving your faith. Okay? But that's what is preached. And it really doesn't mean rebellion. Okay? Because now it says you're rebelling from your... It really doesn't. It just means to depart. Okay? So, let's continue on here. Revealed the son of perdition, okay, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshiped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. This is the person that is coming. You with me?
Amen.
Okay. It says, do you not remember that when I was with you, I told you these things, and now you know what is restraining, that he may be revealed at his own time. What's restraining him? The departure. For the mystery of the lawless one is already at work. Only he who restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. And who is the he? The Holy Spirit. Taking the church. Because what job is the Holy Spirit here for?
For the bride.
He's here for, he's doing the same thing as Eleazar. God's already told us the story. He is here looking for a bride to take back to the Son. And when he finds you and you agree to go back, at some time he's going to lift you off of the earth, place you up on the camel and take you back to marry the son.
Yes.
And that's what the bride of Christ is waiting for. Here we go. Let's continue. It says, he who restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with unrighteous deception among those who perish. They say who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth that they may be saved. Because they didn't receive the gospel, this is the reason why they are being left. And it says, and for this reason, God will send them, because they didn't accept Christ when they had opportunity, mm-hmm. right? But enjoyed a sinful life. It says, God's going to, not Satan, and for this reason, God will send them a strong delusion yes. that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned yes. who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness.
Yes.
So the Lord was expressing to me today, like, I want to talk about the good part, what I'm about to do, not about what Satan's doing. Because what we're about to experience is absolutely beautiful.
Yes.
You understand that? Because you won't be able to understand, even being in this body, you really can't understand life. You don't know when you're going to get your next cold. You don't know, you know what I mean?
Yep.
We don't understand life. To be free, to feel like a butterfly, I mean, floating like, oh my goodness, this is life. This is really it. We don't understand the beauty of that. You understand? But the scripture says there is a day coming that even while you're walking around, you're going to experience it like that. There was a young lady who gave her testimony about dying, and she had a heart attack. And she died. And they said, so how did it feel? Like, she was a Christian, right? But the TV station instructed her, don't talk about Jesus. We just want to talk about the afterlife experience. Uh-huh. So she had to do something later to show. But anyway, she says, no, it didn't hurt at all. She said, it was like I walked out of one door and walked into another one. It was absolutely beautiful.
Wow.
And then she said, then the Lord told me I had to go back. And I was like, she was like, no. And he was like, no, you have to go back. And she was like, no. And so she said, finally, they convinced her, you know, okay, I have to go back. My husband is there. You know, I have things to take care of. She's sitting there giving this interview with this big stitches down the middle of her chest. So, you know, she's been through this whole heart surgery. But she said, no, it felt beautiful. It felt like I just casually walked out of this life and walked into the other. And it was like, wow, really nice. I was like, wow. Now she's experienced it, right? If you've experienced it, that's why God don't let us see heaven, because everybody be somewhere jumping. Trying to get there, right? If you knew, you would be trying to get there. Like, everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody really wants to die, because you don't know what's on the other side, right? But if we felt it, you'd go, oh my goodness. Okay? So there are going to be people that are left, okay? Why are they left? And this is what the Lord wanted me to express to people who are backslidden. If they're backslidden, if they're walking in Christ, if they're in Christ, and yet they're always still sinning, like, they don't get it. You understand? Mm-hmm. They don't get it. Like, we were sitting at lunch, and the lady read a note that was sent to her. A guy said, I read in the scripture that two men are going to be, Natalie, she said, I read in the scripture that two men are going to be in the bed, and one's going to be taken and the other one's left. Now, I know I'm saved, but my husband isn't. He's a guy writing this. He says, do you think I'll be able to get along in the afterlife without him?
Wow.
So that means he's demented, right?
Oh, yeah.
But he thinks he belongs to Christ. So something happened there in that thing where he's thinking, I'm still saved. But see, in his sin, we can go, oh, that's obvious. But there's a bunch of people that accepted Christ and never really decided that they were going to change.
Amen.
And so they accept Christ because people tell them the prayer saves you. And we're going to read about that. So let's get to this. Let's get to this. Okay. Now, first of all, he says, watch. We're supposed to be watching. Now I want us to go to Acts because he says this is the second reason why people are left, Sandy. Acts. Chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, we're going to start at verse 36. Okay, here you go. So it says here, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Christ, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. What's the first thing he tells them to do?
Repent.
What does repent mean? Here, let me look at the word. Repent, matanio, which means to change one's mind. So you've got to change your mind about sin, okay? To repent is to say, I've been living wrong. Somebody paid for the sins I've been doing.
Yes.
And if I now change my mind that I don't want to live like that anymore, mm-hmm. now I'm free to say the prayer.
Yes.
If I say the prayer and nobody tells me I have to repent, it becomes just a ceremonial speech.
Yes.
But you're telling people, now you're saved. And they say, well, thanks. Thanks a lot. I really appreciate it.
Right.
God loves you. Me too. I love me too.
Mm.
You love everything about you. I love smoking weed. I love fornicating. I love all these things. And now you know that God loves me. And so does God love you doing the exact things that you're already doing? Or is God telling you to repent? Because God still hates sin first. That's why he says, repent. Now, Acts chapter 2, verse 38 comes before Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. What does Romans 10, 9 and 10 say? If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that he died on the cross, that he died and rose, you shall be saved. Very true. But you can't say that prayer until you repent. You understand? So the Lord was showing me today, if a person accepts Christ with no mentality of change, they're in the same situation as somebody who never got saved because they never did the first step that it takes to be saved, and that is repent.
Amen.
Okay? Otherwise, you're just going to be a guy walking around saying you're a Christian who does all kind of crazy stuff, and people can't figure out. I sent this on Facebook. There was a young lady, she said today, she grew up with gay parents, and she thought that was an okay life. But as a teenager, she went to a youth camp, and they asked her to come forth, and if she wants to accept Christ. She went, wow, So she goes forth as a teenager and she accepts Christ. And she joins the Christian club at her house, at her high school. And she says, but all the kids knew that she was gay. She had a girlfriend in high school. She said she'd be in the hallway kissing girls. And then she'd go to Christian club. And they told her, hey, you can't come here anymore because of your lifestyle. And she was trying to figure out what's wrong with my lifestyle. She said, because when I accepted Christ, they didn't tell me that anything was wrong with being gay.
Oh, my goodness.
See, and that becomes a problem. We don't want to confront sin. We want to agree with sin and lead people to Christ, and you can't do that.
Amen.
Okay. So this becomes the trap, right? What's the trap? You said the prayer without repenting. Now some false teacher comes and tells you, don't worry about your sinful life, because once you're saved, you're always saved. Okay, so then now you're in a mess because you think that your lifestyle doesn't matter. The only thing matters is that what? You said the prayer, and it's by your faith in Christ or what he did, and I don't have to change. Okay, I love when I preach this because I lose at least 20 friends because nobody wants to. Now watch this. Now watch this. I'm going to show you something. Okay, so it says, repent. And let every one of you be baptizoed, okay? Baptizo is not baptisma. There's three different words in Greek for baptism. Baptizo means this, to dip repeatedly to dye the same color. So it means that you're continually washing.
Yes.
And you're being dyed the same color as Christ. Remember the crimson worm? The crimson worm dyes his children, dyes her children the same color as the mother is, yeah. And the children take on the same color as the mother. The crimson worm is a representation of Christ. You're being dyed the same color as Christ.
Yeah.
And baptizo means to dip repeatedly. So you don't have to get baptized but once, right?
Uh-huh.
But why is it the baptizo means to dip repeatedly? Because you're being constantly washed in the word and being changed and being dyed and becoming like Christ. Okay? Becoming a Christian is a belief and a repentance of a change of life and a journey to be now walking and trying to become as Christ is by changing your life in repentance, right? So, In the Greek, and I was in my Greek studies today, in the Greek study, it gave an example. It says when you have vinegar, it means like to baptize something in a vinegar solution. Okay, like if you want to pickle something, mm-hmm. it's regular vegetables at first, right? But if you pickle and you put it in that vinegar, that thing ain't never going to taste the same again. You understand? That's what the Greek calls a baptizo, okay? It means forever changed. It doesn't mean you just went through a ceremony, got up, and you're still the same vegetable you were before you went in. You understand? Okay.
Wow.
So, the last one I want to go to is in the book of Hebrews. This is the fourth reason why people get left. You're in Hebrews. We're going to be in chapter 10. We're going to be in verse 32. Now, this is...
Most pastors don't teach these things.
No, because you can... It's very easy. You know, look, Pastor Ben, all of you guys, I want to tell you something. If I was a crooked pastor, let me tell you, I got a gift for gab and being funny, right? If I wanted to build a church full of people, and even a guy called me and told me how to do this, he says, all you got to do is sing the song they want to hear. If you sing the song they want to hear, your church is going to grow like wildfire, okay? He says, listen to me. Country people don't go to rap concerts, okay? And rap people don't go to country music concerts. You got to find out what they want to hear, and that's what you got to preach.
Wow.
I said, it sounds like Satan just called me. I'm gonna get off the phone with you, bro. This was when we first started the church. He was telling me how to build the church. Look, all you got to do is you got to invest your money in your music because people love the music. Once you get the music, now you preach to them what they want to hear and not what the Bible says. You finally got yourself a big church. You got the money and you got hell, which is which is the part they don't tell you. OK, so I want you to know that I'm doing this on purpose because I don't care about having a packed church. Amen. I care about if I get 4 or 5 people saved, it's better than me leading 1,000 into hell. Amen. You understand? I'm not supposed to talk about that, though. Today is God's day. OK, so in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 32, it says, but recall the former days in which after you were illuminated, you endured great struggle with suffering. Okay, he's talking to Christians here. When you first accepted Christ, man, you endured with suffering. It says, partly while you were made a spectacle, both by reproach and tribulation, and partly while you became companions of those who were so treated. For you had compassion on me in my chains. And joyfully accepted the plundering of your goods, knowing that you have a better and enduring possession for yourself in heaven. So you were looking forward to heaven, so you were enduring the things, right? Therefore, do not cast away your confidence. In what? In your walk in Christ, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance. Yeah. What do you need in your Christian walk? Endurance. You need to stick with this so that after you have done all, you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Amen. Now, the just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. You hear that? What God is saying? Yes. If a person walks away from Christ, God says, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition. What does perdition mean? Look at this. Utter destruction, the destruction which consists of eternal misery in hell. So if someone draws back, he says they come into perdition. But we are not those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. So we stick in there, right? We endure in Christ. We don't shrink back. Because that's what Satan wants people to do. But God told me to write down, invite the backslider even at this last minute.
Yes.
Because if you've backslidden in Christ and you're not walking with him, okay, and you want to come back to Christ in this last moment before all of us leave, and then you're stuck here and you're trying to figure out what happened. Yeah. And you're saying these words, why did God leave me? That's the title of this message. Yeah. Why did God leave me? Maybe you accepted Christ and you never repented. That's why you're still living with your girlfriend, right? And you've never come before God and said, this is my wife. Okay? Maybe you're a person that you repented, that you never repented, but someone told you to say this prayer and everything will be cool. Okay? Or maybe you're someone who you've accepted Christ, but you stopped watching. And so now you're not active. You've become lazy. Mm-hmm. And you know what the scripture calls that? You're lukewarm. Yeah. So now, since you're not watching and you're not active and you're not being cautious, now when your sinful friends have a drink, you have a drink. You're taking a shot, I'm gonna take a shot. And God is trying to figure out, why is it that I have a person here who knows the way to the kingdom of God having shots with somebody who's on their way to hell? Seems like some wisdom would rise up with this person and say, we shouldn't be drunk. We should be thinking about being closer to Christ. So who you think should be punished more in that situation? Because, see, there was a group of angels that were here that had been to heaven before. They had been to heaven before. And they were here to be watchers on the earth. And you know what they were teaching men? How to sin. They were teaching them how to use roots, how to get high. They were teaching them all kinds of things. It's not that they didn't know that heaven exists. They knew. They were called the B'nai HaElohim, the sons of God. And what are we called? The sons of God. So God is saying, are you doing the same thing they did? You know better, but you're not going to let them know. Instead, you're going to follow with them and do the same things and teach them how to do horrible things. As Christians, we have to be separate. That's what sanctification means. Yes.
Pastor Sam, I'm sorry to interrupt you. There's a young lady, her long-run name is Yeah, Okay, Buddy. She says she's getting an abortion tomorrow because her father is a pastor. He got her pregnant. And he's making her get an abortion tomorrow. I asked her to email me so we can talk and pray. And she said where she is, they don't allow telephones. So we need to pray for her.
We're going to pray for her. What's her name?
I don't know. It just says, Yeah, Okay, Buddy. That's her.
Okay. We're going to pray for her because there's a lot of that going on. And we don't see.
God sees it.
There's a rapture coming, right? God is coming to take people out of the world. You know that? And if life is comfortable for you, oh, I don't care if the rapture comes. Someone in her situation, she's saying, Lord, get me out of this place. Yeah. This world is evil, right?
Yeah.
What is adrenochrome? Who knows what adrenochrome is? It comes from the word adrenaline, right? Where do you get adrenaline from? From being overly excited, right?
Right.
Or from fear. They're taking this and using it as a drug. Do you understand? Where do they get the adrenochrome from? Who are they scaring to the point where the adrenochrome is in their body enough that now they can take that blood from them and use it as a drug for themselves? This happens in the world. Now you know what happens to 100,000 children that disappear and nobody asks where they go. But we don't care about people living in the back of the church sleeping on the ground.
Right.
I'm looking forward to the rapture for a reason. This place ain't right. And it's getting worse day by day. And the Lord's like, this is my time. This is my time to harvest my church and to get this thing taken care of. Because somebody's got to come down here and vacuum and clean this place up before he brings us back. And I'm so glad she called because that is that she asked us that because it's not a good world. You know what I mean? We believe that it is. If everything's going good for you, this is a great world for you. And you have no rush for Jesus to come.
Right.
But people who are suffering are asking God, please let this be the time. We are at Pentecost. We are at the wheat harvest. The 6,000 years is gone. The 120th Jubilee is gone. This is the end of the 70th year. Let's get out of here. Let's do it at the wheat harvest. So we're looking forward to this, okay?
Amen.
So, hey, we got better life to look forward to, and that's the good news from God.
Amen.
I'm looking forward to leaving. You understand? Looking forward to leave. So I just say to that young lady, let's pray right now. Let's bow our heads and pray for her right now. Oh, my God. Father God, in the name of your son, Jesus Christ, we just pray for this young lady, Father God, in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father God, that you've already forgiven her, Father God, in Jesus' name, that you've already got her on your mind, Father God, in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father God, that there's no life that is lost, Father God, with you, and that all souls go to you, Father God. And rather she can hug a child here on earth or hug a child in the kingdom in heaven, she will hug a child, Father God. So we thank you, Father God, that life is eternal. And we thank you, Father God, that your Son, Jesus Christ, is coming. And we thank you, Father God, that you're going to take us out, and yet you have a plan for this world to clean it up and then to restore things back to the way they should be. For evil is too deep in this world, Father God, and there are so many here that need you. In Jesus' name we pray and we thank you. Amen.
Amen.
All right. That's it. We're going to pray. We're going to pray out. Okay, so thank you everybody for joining us tonight. That is a reality. And so keep listening. Pentecost is Sunday. You still, did you turn it off already?
No.
Okay. Pentecost is Sunday. Well, it's the first day. It's from evening to evening, so 9th or 10th. If you don't know the day, you just don't know. And I don't know what hour, okay? So, but Pentecost, and Pentecost is the wheat harvest. Pentecost is the harvest time. Pentecost is resurrection. I'm praying and hoping that Pentecost is it, and the wheat harvest is about to leave. Praise God. And then John, in Revelation chapter 4, what does he say? It was on the Lord's day, and I saw a door standing open in heaven. What's the Lord's day? Yom Rishon, yeah. Sunday. So I'm glad to go on Sunday if we do. I would love to be sitting here and go...
Amen.
All right. Praise God. Amen. Oh, Sharon is taking up offering.